You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, John and Jennifer.
Hi, and welcome back, John.
Hello, it's good to be back, good to be free.
Hi, John. So we've missed you. How many podcasts now? Two? Three?
Three, I believe.
Wow, okay.
God,
it's been a while.
Yeah, because the brownies that I brought were a couple of weeks ago, and John wasn't here for those.
Right, yes.
Yeah. But she's promised to maybe do that again.
Yeah. So.
Right, that's true. Right, we had a Bundang show, and we had that show in Gangnam, and now we're back to our regular super secret base of operations.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Which I found almost easily today.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's getting, like, progressively less time it takes me to wander around.
Excellent.
Blind and aimless.
All right. Now, John, all right, so you've been away for 3 weeks because you had that first week in March off unexpectedly.
Right.
So you've been doing, like, makeup weekends or something?
Well, the basic issue that's been going on in March for me is that during the week we've had almost no students.
Right.
One week we had none. This last week we had 19.
Okay.
But we've had lots and lots of them on the weekends.
Okay.
So they've had to...
So do they just have a two-day program then on the weekends?
Yes.
Oh, see, I thought they were there for 7 days.
Generally, they get there on Monday morning. For the week program, they get there on Monday morning and leave on Saturday morning.
Okay. And then a new crowd comes in for Saturday day and Sunday
if
day?
If there's a weekend program,
oh,
yes.
Wow. So, lucky.
So since I had already been sort of in that pipeline for having the week, first week off in March, and I just kind of progressively kept getting stuck with the weekends.
Yeah. So 19 students and how many teachers?
Well...
19.
there are probably 35 teachers there.
Wow.
So, you know, some of them never saw the kids.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I was on evenings, so actually it was kind of fun for me. I got to have them every evening for a different evening activity, so I got to actually know them.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
really.
It was cool.
And how many kids would you normally have in a weekday program?
This coming week we've got, I think, upwards over 200.
Oh, okay. So next week it'll be back.
Yeah. Capacity is 450.
Oh, okay. And do you frequently reach capacity?
Not consistently, but certain times of the year, certainly.
Yeah.
Summer, winter vacation.
Yeah,
those times, yeah.
I think I will just miss that next
aren't you lucky?
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. Does it make August is their summer vacation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our January and August.
Last week of July. So.
Okay. All right. And John, you've got the can of Tim Hortons coffee, and you were supposed to report back on.
Right.
Did you tease and delight your Canadian coworkers with it?
I have told them that I have it, and I got regaled with all kinds of, the Tim Horton back in the day, blah, blah, Tim Horton, blah, blah, blah. I mean, after bars, we'd go out, blah, 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 and there would be the only thing open, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that was cool. My original idea was to leverage that can of coffee into something from Canadians.
Yeah, but goods or services
right,
or something.
Right. And I, in the end, just couldn't think of anything I wanted from a Canadian, so... So there it is.
I give you everything you require.
Exactly. You brought me lemon heads. What more can I ask for from a Canadian than lemon heads and Tim Hortons coffee?
Okay, what are lemon heads? Are those like lemon drops?
They're a brand. Same people who make Red Hots make them.
Huh.
Little lemony sugar. For me, the perfect sweet to sour ratio. Lightly crunchy, not crunchy, sort of a hard-ish candy shell surrounding a soft-ish layer and then a hard core in the center, and it's of course they're all gone now. But
oh, you blew through all those.
I like the way you actually were shaking as you were describing. Yeah,
it's bad, but it's
John,
bad.
I got you bags and bags of that.
I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I swear you filled up half a suitcase with lemon.
Now we know John's crack.
Exactly. That's it is. Yes, that is.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's been like Tim Hortons. Like, right before I came in, there was a guy out selling hats, and he was wearing a Tim Hortons t-shirt.
How funny.
Yeah, very strange. So I sort of stealthily took a photograph of him.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, I was on the subway Saturday, and there was a guy, one of those sales guys, you know, selling crap.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, and I wanted to stealthily take a video of him, but he saw me.
Oh,
God, did he ever explode in rage.
You know, they might be doing that illegally.
Oh,
so
really?
So you might have thought you were trying to bust him or something.
Nah. Oh, yeah, like, you know, right, I'm working. I'm, you know, I got a wire. And
yeah.
But, all right. So, yeah. Careful when you play these stupid tourist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I had to, because I mean, he looked like he wanted to really hurt me, fight me. Yeah. Just shouting at me. And
good thing there were only like 60 or 70 witnesses. You know, yeah. You could have really gotten away with something.
Yeah. So you know, he's got his big lumbering suitcase. So you know, I got off the subway.
Yeah. You can't run too fast with that thing.
Exactly. And he trundled his suitcase off. Now he's going to follow me. So, you know, so then just as the doors are closing, I jump back on the subway.
Whoa.
I know. Like, didn't you see the French Connection, idiot? You know, I don't know. So he's just sort of standing there, just fuming at me, you know. And so I blew him a kiss as the...
Yeah, you're lucky the doors didn't open back up.
Yeah, well, I made sure that the subway is actually running.
So there are 10 million people in Seoul. And he's the one you're the one he'll always recognize.
Yeah, I know. Man. So maybe I'll throw that up on YouTube, you know.
Nice.
Idiot or something. I don't know.
Nice.
All right. And there was one. Oh, our snack of the week, I guess. Our little snack of the week.
And go ahead and grab another one then.
What are these again?
John, please describe it, John.
It looks like,
there's nothing
inch and a
that
half,
it looks
couple
like.
Inch long, vaguely curved.
Tubular kind of a thing.
Tubular kind of thing with a dusting of what looks like, I don't know, coconut?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, it kind of looks like it, but
it looks like it, but
it
it's not. And I will now bite into my first one.
Mm-hmm. It's lightly crunchy on the outside, delightfully chewy on the inside.
Hint of lemon.
It's in the way it feels when you bite
sesame
into it
taste.
Is a very light, fluffy macaroon.
Yeah.
Very light and fluffy, yes.
Lemony sesame taste, called yu gua. Gua meaning?
Cookie.
Cookie, yeah. Yu gua. What is it? Do you know what the yu means, Jennifer?
Hmm?
You know what the yu means?
Well, yu usually means milk, but I don't really get the milkiness from this, so it could be a different yu.
Okay.
I'm sure there's plenty of them.
They're milky in color.
Yeah.
True, but I think it was probably the chop saw.
they're good. There's a snack called yut, like a
yacht.
Oh, sorry, yacht. Right,
yeah,
sorry,
Korean taffy.
Oh, yeah. All right, never mind.
Yeah, eat that before a test.
Why?
Because stuff sticks in your mind.
Ah, true little tradition.
And the Korean word for
cute.
The Korean word for stick, they use to mean pass a test.
Okay.
Like your score stuck.
Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, what's
so that's why all
what's
the...
Korean for stuck or stick?
Putta.
Sorry?
Putta.
Putta.
Oh, my.
But that's why you'll see ajummas before the big university entrance exam.
Okay.
They try to stick a piece of yut to the highest place possible. I think it's around the testing site, or it might be around the university they want their kids to get into.
Okay.
Which would be, like, of course, Seoul National University, the only university in the world. And so you'll see them standing on each other's backs, like trying, because the higher they stick it,
the higher the score.
And now it's like banned, and they get pushed away. Well, because I mean, you can understand
how
much
taffy can one building hold.
Right.
The engineers never calculated for that. That's like,
I think the janitors' union probably got in on banning that.
Right.
All right. Okay. You're kind of enjoying the music here at Starbucks today, John.
Yeah, it's nice. It's Billie Holiday, which, you know, yesterday was her birthday, so that might be an actual plan.
Okay, yeah.
Thought to do that.
The music is programmed out of Seattle.
Oh, well then.
Oh, I was going to say.
Then it's very likely.
The minimum wage employees downstairs, I'm sure, have no idea even the name of this person.
Then it's very likely that it got programmed out of Seattle.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Seattle.
If it was Sweetbox's birthday, and I have to say, Sweetbox is my favorite name of any musical performer.
Yeah.
Those of you who may not be listening from other places who don't know Sweetbox, it is a female pop star. I think she may rap some. I'm not really sure.
Well, who doesn't?
I'm far too old to listen to her kind of music. But, yes. Actually, I believe she is European.
Okay.
She looks kind of Korean to me. So I don't know if she's Asian, European, or I don't know. Whatever. But her name is Sweetbox, which just amuses me to no end. And really, it took me a long time saying her name when I could say it and not laugh.
It's practice in front of the mirror.
Yeah, that's one thing you've got to kind of brace yourself for when you come here is a lot of the kids are into, European boy bands, you know, British and really obscure boy bands that we've never heard of in North America, but somehow. There was one a number of years ago.
I never heard of the Backstreet Boys until I came here.
Really? Okay, yeah, Backstreet Boys. But there was some Irish boy band that was really, really popular here.
I wonder.
The one with Ronan Keating, probably. Mm-hmm. Or maybe.
I know an Irish person in an Irish boy band. I wonder if it was the same one. Mm-hmm. I never knew the name of the band, but
the current band here is Super Junior. That's kind
Super
of the,
what?
It's called Super Junior.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought there were like a band. How many people are in a band? Like 3, 4?
Oh no, there's like 80 because they need.
Oh my god.
They need to dance.
Yeah. The Super Junior has there's 18 members in this band.
Yeah.
None of them play an instrument.
No.
I think they all just sort of dance and sing and things like that.
And some of them don't always even sing.
So they.
It doesn't seem like.
So the people who are playing the instruments are not considered or counted.
Well,
as
you never
being
see
the
them.
Band.
You don't actually see the people playing the music.
It's probably a bunch of 45-year-old.
Undoubtedly,
yeah.
Studios.
Yeah, bands here are not musicians. They're just singer dancers. Yeah,
yeah.
That's kind of
with
soon
the
to be
emphasis
actors.
On cuteness and danciness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I love about the girl bands are like the their publicity photos. They're always doing something kind of cute with their hands.
Yeah.
Like strange. It's just not the little peace sign they shoot anymore now.
Right.
It's like these weird little things with their hands. And I'm just thinking there's some think tank in Japan.
What can we do now?
Yeah, exactly. They just think up these things.
Test marketing cute things you can do in a photo.
Yeah.
Because I do agree. I think that it is like test marketed for like the super cuteness factor.
Oh, yeah.
And I have noticed, if either of you noticed, that the full body heart, you know, where you make the heart with your arms on your
right,
head.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Which if this were a video cast, then you could see what I was doing. It has now become the hand heart where
you're
the heart just with your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you put it in front of your heart?
Of course.
Okay.
Wow, you're very good at that, John, actually. I think I would just form like a rectangle, I think, if I just tried it without looking. But I can't even open up a package, so. Man. I think the lowest of the low is there's some Japanese girl band that's marketed to the, you know, kind of like the anime geeks in Japan, like they're called otaku. So the guys are just into, you know, computer games and anime and Japanese comic books. And again, it's like 18 girls, and they range in age from like 14 to 18.
Well, yeah, and 18's old.
Yeah, and there's everyone, there's for the whatever kink is out there in the otaku, you know, so there's like the schoolgirl, and there's like the really naughty, bad 16-year-old, and it's just the most disgusting thing.
So it's the village people of Japan, is what you're saying.
Yeah, sort of the pedophiles village people. Yeah.
Excellent.
Coming soon to a...
Undoubtedly, once again, test marketed. What are like the 18 most popular men's fantasies of women under the age of 18?
Yes, sir. Speaking of the village people, it's during graduation on Friday nights at the village, at the Seoul English Village, they play a whole bunch of different kind of songs.
All right.
Dancing them up. And Village, and YMCA is one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just horrified. It's like, oh my God.
If they only knew what it meant.
Exactly. You know, it's like, I'll never forget when I was in the Navy.
In the Navy.
And that song came out, and the Navy thought that was cool.
Yeah.
They embraced that song with open arms for about 15 seconds, and then went... when someone told them...
what it was about.
Right.
I thought the Navy actually commissioned the Village People to do that song.
Yeah, because the Navy has always had such a great reputation in that way.
Right.
That they would want to encourage it.
Well, if one of my kids gets an answer, you know, or even close, you know, you've got eight kids and they're all just sitting there stone-faced, like, what could the answer possibly be? And then, you know, one kid actually gets it. You know, then I hold his hand above his head and I sing, "We are the champions. We are the champions." So,
yeah. The other very big famous, well, big regularly played song is Macarena, which is kind of the straight people's version of YMCA.
Way to describe it.
Yeah. Man. But they could learn a super cute dance to go with it.
Oh, they do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're a lucky man, John.
Yeah. It just never stops at being fun over here.
Our main topic was common mistakes we make, either sort of in general or at work. I guess, trying to film that guy on the subway is maybe...
That's one mistake.
Might be a mistake.
Right?
Trying to watch a good shoe fight.
Yeah, exactly. Ajuma shoes off, Ajuma fight. Yeah. But...
You shouldn't try and watch one of those? You should just walk on?
Not if you're a foreigner.
Okay, you just walk on.
Because then they feel like they shouldn't have their shoe fight to the enjoyment that they would normally get.
Right.
You know.
So hide around the corner and peek.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think my mistake, I'm sure I've made a lot of mistakes, but the one I always remember, you go to Burger King and you get like a plastic Burger King glass.
Did you keep it?
Yeah, for the longest time I thought it was like a promotion, because that's what you would get. You would get a plastic glass in North America
in America, a fast food place would not have something that they expected returned.
Exactly, yeah.
So they wouldn't trust you.
Yeah. So for the longest time, I thought, "Oh, this is great promotion," you know. But then I began to think, like, what are they promoting other than Burger King? There's nothing on it, like other than like Star Wars, Phantom Menace. You know, there's nothing. And then I'm like, "Oh yeah, recycling. They're big into recycling here. So, you know, they give you dishes and you know, metal forks and things like that. Fast food restaurants, just so they reuse." And I'm like, "Oh." Okay.
Money.
So yeah, I collected about four of those, cups.
They're nice cups.
They are very nice.
Of course,
nice
that should have tipped you off that it's much higher quality than the free cups you would get back in the States. They actually last.
Thickness to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A little heft. But in your defense, they do have signs posted now. It took them a couple months,
they
realized that a bunch of them were going missing. So it couldn't have just been your four.
Yeah. All plastic cups belong to us.
Right. Yes.
So now you know. But, any other common mistakes?
John, what's at school occasionally, and others that I teach with quite frequently, end up dropping parts of speech in an attempt to maybe communicate more easily to the kids. You know, boy wants apple.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yes.
Dropping your articles.
Plurals.
Tense.
So, the danger of that is you may end up being able to communicate more easily with them. They may be able to understand you, but then they're going to labor under the misapprehension that you're speaking English.
Exactly.
Yes.
I do that. I consider it to be channeling my inner Tonto. sometime with my lowest level students, I will find myself using only present tense, and I'll just stick a time frame in there. And no articles.
Point to behind you for past.
Point to behind me, which I have to say they don't always get. Sometimes they actually look behind me. Yeah. What is behind her that's giving us a hint? Because they think I'm just giving them a hint.
Right.
There's a whiteboard, but nothing's on it. I don't get it.
Is she wearing something on her back? What?
Yeah. Right. But generally, they get behind me more often than when I, like, point, like, I do sort of the opposite, like, pointing in front of me, like, at a kind of airport, direct the plane to mean the future. Right. They generally get behind me as past. Pointing down with my fingers is now, but they never get the future. They just start looking behind, you know, at the wall behind them. You know, where's the hint on the wall? Right. Oh, there's nothing on the wall because they've redone the wallpaper. I don't get it, teacher!
Teacher, I don't understand.
we're not advanced enough to be dealing with future tense.
I did learn in TESOL school how to make the timelines on the board that make it they give it a nice graphic sense of before, you know, here's now with a big X and then before. And, but it doesn't always work.
No.
Not with youngins.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, another mistake. I don't make it anymore, but kind of being too nice and too buddy-buddy with your kids, you know, initially kind of thing. When you get sort of a new class, you... you know, you're tempted to sort of be very nice to them, but I don't know.
Never.
I find
that idea.
Yeah, you gotta
always start out being a jerk.
I start out
being as mean as I possibly can stand, and maybe even a few degrees more. I turn it up to 11, if you will.
And that's a lesson I remember learning from when I was in grade school.
Right.
Because my teachers invariably were really awful at the beginning of the year, and then they were really cool as time went on.
I sort of got that.
Yeah, a week and a half ago, I made a kid cry, and he dropped. It was a moment of pride.
He dropped out of the school?
Yeah, he dropped.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good
work.
I was pretty proud of myself. Because, let me just explain. It's a writing class.
All right.
The students are assigned 5 journals a week, 10 minutes of writing. It's a timed journal.
Okay.
10 minutes, 5 days.
Okay.
Well, in a month of class, he's never done it.
Wow.
And then he missed a day. And when they miss a day, which is, it's a once a week writing class. When they miss a day, they're supposed to call the school and get their assignment. Or when they come for reading and vocabulary, then they're supposed to get their homework paper. Well, he didn't do either. And then he's like, I was absent, you know, score, you know, I couldn't possibly be expected to do the assignment. Well, we have detention at our school. And because he has never had a complete homework assignment at all, and then he comes in with nothing, I was like, go let him know to call your mom, and you need to stay for detention.
Right.
And so he went, and he was just like, I mean, just the terror in his eyes. I mean, that's the way to get to the kids.
Through the mother, yes.
Through the mother, yeah. And so he just goes out in the hall and starts crying and doesn't go tell them that he has detention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just went over to them, and I was like, he's got detention. You know, no sympathy. Oh, don't cry. I was like, no, he's got detention. You know, because as far as I'm concerned, if it's too much to do it all, I can understand that. Our kids are way overscheduled.
Yeah.
But to never have time to do more than the tiniest fraction of the required work. But then it's his mother's going to call and be like, why isn't my child progressing? You know, he's done one-tenth of every assignment. I don't know why he's not fluent.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he did not come back this past Friday.
Yeah, I generally hate it when I make a kid cry.
Unless I hate the kid.
Yeah, well, I don't know most of them long enough to hate them.
To really work up a good hate. Yeah.
There was one. But even after I made him cry, I felt really bad. Because at one point, the first night, we had a run-in. And I then walked over to him because he was ignoring me and put my hand on his shoulder to get his attention. He did that classic duck whirl defend himself thing. And I thought, I have an idea of how kids learn that maneuver. And so I started feeling bad for him. And it was the next day that I made him cry, but anyway.
I do usually feel bad when I make a kid cry because it's usually not my intention. But it's when a kid has a bad attitude and can't even pretend to participate in class and can't do any of the homework, then I just have no sympathy that they get upset and they get caught out for never doing anything,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, so. If you're going to be a total slacker, own it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't blame me when you get in trouble for never doing anything.
Right.
you know, when I sort of have a new batch of kids, you know, I start off as nice teacher, and then, you know, sometimes the kid, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt, and then, you know, they start to talk or play, and then, you know, and then you're like, you know, a couple of polite warnings, and then a very stern warning, and then, you know, and then you just, you wait for the kid to nominate himself to be the, you know, the sacrificial victim, you know, and when that kid does it, and then you just get out of the chair, and you just start shouting at him, right in his face, you know. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
See, I don't do that. I just kick him out of class.
No, I think it's important to just shove the kid down. And then, yeah, and then boot him out. And then I don't have any homework in my, my speaking classes, but I that's the next level of punishment. I give them homework.
Ooh,
and if they don't do their homework, sometimes they come back, the, you know, a few days later and they haven't done their homework. Oh. Yeah. Then they wish they were not alive. Well, I double their homework.
Well, 2 times 0 is still 0.
Yeah. Well, no, then we, you know, haul them up to the head teacher.
Oh, okay.
And with all the commensurate warnings about, you know, mother finding out and stuff like that. And, you know.
Yeah, no, I send them out because they text message the mother straight away that their kid has been ejected from the classroom.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it is really far worse than anything I could yell at them that, you know, when I'm yelling,
okay.
I'm sure they don't understand
okay.
what they would understand even if I were just speaking. But they do understand right. mother getting a text message very well.
I write in their book, you know, where at the point where they were ejected, I actually write in their book, removed from class for playing in English. But, you know, pray their mother doesn't check their work and read English.
Yeah.
Then they're, yeah, then they're not, another level of hell, I think.
Yeah, that's what I do for my extra homework. I make it very specific. Harry has extra homework. His homework is to write a paragraph about why he needs to follow classroom rules. You know, something like that.
Nice.
Did either of you get Happy Easter shouted at you on your way over here today?
No, I didn't.
There was a guy with a sign on my wandering, my milling around, trying to find
all right.
our secret location. And he was shouting at every passerby, Happy Easter, in English.
Okay.
And he had a poster written in Korean explaining what Happy Easter means.
Okay, that's important.
But he wasn't, it really just, obviously he's some religious nutcase.
Okay.
Which, you know, good for him.
Good, yeah, whatever.
You know, celebrating Jesus' rebirth, whatever. But it was the shouting that really amused me.
Well, I did see on the one of the, you know, those underpasses.
Yeah, that's where it was, one of those.
Yeah, and the guy was standing, you know, on the stairs. You know, narrow stairs, crowded, you know, busy,
yeah,
heavily used stairway. And, you know, with a big sign like, you know, saved by the love of Jesus, and, you know,
yes.
And just sort of shouting about something or another, and I'm just thinking, you know, he's kind of inconveniencing everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know why they think that promotes their religion to make people angry.
Yeah, I know. It would be,
I guess it's better than enslaving nations, but...
Yeah.
Well, by degrees.
Because it's the same kind of idea of spam, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if I have to irritate 100 million people to get the one
right.
sucker, hey, you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, like the Church of God people. I'm sure I complained about them.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
Stake out the subways.
I did some research, and the mother, what's the question they asked? Do you know who the Mother of God is? Is that the question they asked?
Yes, the Mother of God. And Mary is not the answer. And if you answer Mary, they will want to drag you away to some hidden location right away. I mean, they actually always want to take me to another location.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of Oprah, you know, never go to the second location.
Right.
You know?
Get in the van.
Right, that's how I feel when they're like, come with us now. Are you crazy? Are you crazier than I already thought you were?
See, if they're smart, they'd be like, you know, we have macaroni and cheese and Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
I'll be there in a minute.
Exactly.
Yes. Some of my friends actually got yelled at by them because they are actually practicing Christians, and they thought go around to different churches in Korea trying to get the Korean religious experience.
Okay.
And they told the Church of God people that they might go to church.
Okay.
Meaning, if we wake up in time and we're of a mind, we'll go. Well, they didn't wake up and they weren't of a mind, so they didn't go. And the people saw them again.
Okay.
Because their apartment is right outside the subway station.
Right.
And they yelled at them, "We waited for you. Where were you?" Oh my God. Well, so, I'm enticed now. I'll definitely be there.
Wow. Well, you know, in my neighborhood, you know, usually Saturdays they're out in force, and I eventually figured it out that they have a little office or church or something.
Yeah.
I walking to the subway, I looked up, and their website's watv.org or something like that. I took a picture, yeah. But I did some research, and I found out who the Mother of God is.
Oh, who is it?
It's Ajuma. It's an Ajuma.
Of course.
Yeah.
One alive today, or?
I don't know. Well, Jesus, I guess there was the second coming. We just weren't aware. And Jesus,
he was awfully quiet about that.
I know, well, because he was an Ajushi. And so we never really heard about it, you know. And but then he mysteriously died. I don't know.
He's not supposed to do that.
You know, so now I've got the third coming to wait for, you know, another 2,000 years.
You'd think God would save his son, you know, this time.
I don't know. So, yeah. I
mean, he brought him back to life last time.
Right.
But then I think maybe his daughter or his wife or something, I don't know, is like, she's still alive. She's still kicking. But she wears like a doily on her head. I've seen pictures of the Mother of God, and she kind of wears a little doily on her head.
See, Catholics here still do that. That's an old Catholic thing.
Yeah.
So they might have got it from there, even though they think that Catholics are non-Christian, hellbound heretics. Yes.
Right. Queen kiss to the darndest things.
Korean kids do the most irritating things.
Oh, they do sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My current beef is, you know, the mechanical pencils.
Oh, yes.
Should they call them sharps or sharpies?
Sharps,
here?
Yes.
Yeah, sharps. All right. And yeah, I've got like an essay class, a couple little writing classes, and you know, you give them a question to answer. And they don't believe in pens.
No.
Right.
One thing too is they don't write in pens; they just write in pencil. And most of them have their little sharps. And so you give them the assignment, you know, okay, answer question three. And you notice one kid is like loading up his sharp or her sharp with the little lead. Fine.
Yeah.
And you go over and you're helping another kid, and you're maybe with that kid for like 5 minutes. And you look over at the first kid. There's nothing written on the page,
no.
And the kid's still trying to put lead in his sharp.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just like, what is that?
Right, it's not rocket science. You take off the cap, you throw a couple of leads in there. It's way easier than when we were young.
Right.
I remember you had to feed them in one at a time, oh so carefully.
Sure.
Now you can just like dump a half a dozen in there and they feed in themselves.
Nice.
Yeah, way
technology.
Nicer.
I don't
know.
Yeah. So yeah, I just figure kids, you know, have learned that, you know, loading the sharp is like, you know, sort of malingering kind of.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my students, once they realize that I have pencil lead, they always run out in my class. I think they actually empty their things out before my class. And then they're like, teacher, I don't have any, so I'll give them some.
All right.
And the things cost a couple hundred won
okay.
a box.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what kind of money they think they're saving by getting a pencil lead off of me every day. You know?
Over time, that adds up now.
Indeed. But they always seem upset if it's like the same kid and like 10 classes in a row he's asked for lead. I'm like, no, I'm out today.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, like I'm holding out on him, which I am, but, you know.
John.
Like, it's not my duty to provide school supplies for these kids whose parents earn, like, you know, many factors of earn in a year, you know.
Down in Bundang, the engineer, doctors, things like that. Yeah,
living in places with names that end in palace or mansion, you know, and I've got my one room.
One time I was asking my kids, like, about, you know, castle.
Yeah.
Can you name a castle?
Yeah, you Lotte know? Castle.
Exactly. And they were all like, Lotte Castle? I'm like, John, do you have any
Favorite annoyance is being pawed at.
Really?
Kids just
want
to
touch you.
Hundreds of excited children walking up to you all day long.
All right.
Touching, grabbing your arm and pulling out your hand.
Yeah, because they're just there for a week, so you're like ultra.
And it's language Disneyland, so they're all excited and hyped up.
Yeah.
I am not goofy. Don't touch me.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I used to have a kid in Chunju, which, you know, my favorite examples of the provincial part of Korea. I've got quite hairy arms for a girl.
Right.
And in the summertime, there was this one particular student who would come up in class and spend the class just petting my arm while saying fur.
Oh.
Fur, because the Korean word for body hair is the same as the word for fur.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I'd just fur. Be like, nice. Bite me, you little ankle monster.
And actually, that to me, because I've got hair... hairyish arms, you know, I've got Western man hairy arms.
Yeah.
That's the least annoying thing that, you know, as far as the being pawed
all right.
spectrum.
Okay.
That's the least annoying when I'll suddenly look down and there's somebody's, you know, slowly running a few fingers, you know, pulling at me. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then I
do, chest
do,
hair.
Do my collar down a little bit and they go, oh, monkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got like, our textbooks have like stickers. And, you know, when the page is done, they, you know, the sticker flash, you know, they like to pull the whole page off.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so I like to, like, go ahead, put it on my arm hair. You know, just wrap the whole thing around my arm hair. And then it doesn't actually hurt yeah. to rip it off, but it, you make a big show of it. Nice. Keeps them entertained.
Right.
Little pratfall kind of thing, but, yeah.
Gotta keep them entertained.
Yeah.
Jennifer,
but,
any?
The students who don't understand personal space. I don't have any, like, arm petters anymore.
All right.
My students are a little bit more sophisticated. But I do have the ones that can only ask a question while they're leaning into my face.
Right, okay. Sitting on your lap almost.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I do have one student, and the male teacher, she does try to sit in their laps. And... she's a bit scary. Like, I wonder about her. She sticks everything in her mouth, and she has to be, like, leaning on you and touching you and rubbing on you. And the male teacher, she tries to sit in their laps, and, yeah, it's a little bit scary.
Yeah, we need to watch this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I find both my girls and boys, yeah, they're kind of touchy-feely sometimes. Yeah. They come up behind you, and they'll start to massage your shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just like...
Don't touch the teacher. Yeah.
Foot and a half, foot right. and a half in every direction, kids.
This is my invisible box.
Yeah.
You cannot enter the invisible box.
Yeah. But I'm always impressed. I mean, the Korean teachers, they're very, you know, they're very affectionate with the kids back. You know, there is,
yes.
you know, there's definitely an affection between student and teacher that we're not used to. We
right.
prefer yes. our distance. But yeah, but it's kind of nice that way. Kind of touching.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
It's nice to see, but it's not me.
Yeah,
right.
I come from a land of lawsuits. I don't, you right. know, I don't fondle my students.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, the other irritating thing are like the we've talked about this before, but the pencil cases with the loud games built on
yes.
top.
Yes, those are not allowed to even touch the desks.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes, you they can. They can extract a pencil and eraser from them before they immediately return it to their bag.
All right. Yeah. You see those a lot, John?
Don't.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. They're actually, I think they're fading a bit in popularity, but yes. I remember a couple of years ago.
Oh, my God. They drive me insane.
Yeah, they're all the rage.
It's also possible that they confiscate them at the beginning of the week as yeah. they do the cell phones and return them back at the end of the week. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. The cell phones. I love that, like, you know, their arms are under the table.
Yes.
And, you know, you can see the little twitching motions in their right. muscles,
yeah.
you know, like... Yeah,
who do you think you're fooling?
Yeah,
I've got four kids in here. Yeah. Do you think I can't see you?
Right. Yeah. No, they head that one off at the pass.
Yeah, that's good.
But I thought, you know, you got the loud, irritating pencil case, and that the kids love those, and a lot of them are like little. You got to shake them and move some metal ball under plastic.
Yeah,
it's
like a pinball machine.
Yeah, yeah.
What possessed the parent to get their kids a pinball machine to take to class?
Good idea.
Yeah, you're going to pay attention, I know. And then, but I thought he'd combine that with their, you know, with their desire to sort of, you know, just screw around with their pencil lead.
Yeah.
So you invent something that loads the pencil lead into the mechanical pencil in kind of the loudest, longest, most irritating way possible. You'll make and like put a Maple Story logo on it, Cartwriter, you'll make $1 million. That's my idea.
Let's do it.
Maybe if it had a trigger instead of just pushing down on the cap, you know?
Oh,
like if they actually
gun.
Had to pull like a gun trigger to extend
right.
the lead.
Wow.
That would probably sell $1 million.
Right.
That's not a bad idea. But I did have a not irritating moment this week. It gave me such hope. you know, I was saying I bring in the Chunwan cookies and crackers. And so I had these crackers, and I had like four crackers left. And then, but I also had these coconut cookies that don't actually taste anything like coconut. They more taste like, you know, sort of those arrowroot cookies. Yeah. They're good, but not coconut. So I had those. That was my next snack. So this boy, James, sort of comes in, and so he sees the cookies and he sees the crackers. And I want to get rid of the crackers before I move on to the cookies. So I give James the crackers. And he's like, no, I want the cookies, teacher. And I'm like, no, James, you got to finish the crackers.
Right.
And he's like, oh, but I want the cookies. I'm like, James, well, either the crackers or nothing, James. And he's like, oh. So he kind of does the logic. Yeah. And he's like, well, if I go away, another student will come and get the crackers.
Oh.
All right. So he turns around, he starts to leave, and then he realizes there's one more important question he has to ask. And he turns around again. And he does it in very good English, too. He says, teacher, you know, if there are no more crackers and you give me the cookies, how many cookies will I get? So I'm like, well, you can have the four crackers, or if you come back for no more crackers, you get two cookies. Ah, I'll take the crackers. So I'm like, wow. You know, this is like long-term planning.
It's really great.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's, you know, using English and making himself understood. And so, yeah. So I gave him two cookies as well as the crackers.
Wow. For the use of logic.
Yes, exactly. It was a major reward. Nice. So that, yes. that gave me a little hope.
I had a little annoying moment. On Friday, one of the teachers has a friend with a bass connection.
All right.
And she got, which she has never really used, you know, before, but she went and got 4 dozen plastic Easter eggs, and we had an Easter egg hunt at school.
Okay,
fun.
Yeah, it was quite nice. And then
I wish I thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was, yeah, we did it. We hid pictures of Easter eggs.
Okay.
And then they could exchange them.
Okay.
Because we, you know, can't really hide eggs in a classroom. There's, you know, limited hiding spots.
Okay.
But this one kid, at the end of the day, gets his candy, and his, in lieu of thank you, said, "Is this it?"
Oh. Yeah.
And I said,
"No, that's it."
I really wanted to, but later, it was the last class of the day, and I had a basket of candy left. So all the other kids, when class let out, they were kind of milling around, waiting for their mothers, and I was doling out candy to them. Our cleaning lady came up and was like, "You didn't offer me any candy," so I gave her a big handful, and which she asked with candy in her mouth, which I thought was really funny. And he is like staring longingly at the candy, and I made a very big point of giving every single other person more candy and not him.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, if only you'd said thank you.
Nice.
You could have more candy too.
But "is this it" doesn't qualify.
Right, that does not qualify as thank you in English.
Well, one of the Korean teachers, she was sort of commenting. She noticed that the level of manners in kids these days is just sort of dropped off, you know.
It's non-existent.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it's because the kids, they're just studying all the time, and they're not being taught manners. They don't.
Well, and they're given everything they want as soon as they want it.
That's true. That's true too. Yeah. So sort of like, well, do I teach you manners, or do you study math and get into SNU? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So we'll have a bunch of rude mathematicians in another generation.
Yeah, apparently.
Nice.
Well, yeah. Nice. Unix developers. Yeah. They're all nice. Unix developers in training. I'm telling you.
Well, I wonder if it's just us. I always assume that they give more respect to their Korean teachers, seeing as their Korean teachers can beat them. Perhaps they don't.
Yes, true, but I think at the same, you know, it's relative. Yeah. But yeah, even I think the respect towards their teachers. Well, there was a big complaint the other day about, you know, Korean elementary school and high school teachers complaining about just the lack of respect they're getting from kids these days. You know, that's a major issue.
I always insist on please.
Please.
Teacher, go.
Yeah.
Oh no, you don't talk to teacher like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually have to stop and say, "How do you talk to a teacher? How do you talk to an adult?" That's not it.
Yeah.
Rephrase.
That's a little function of that. You know, the Korean, you make the verbs polite, and there doesn't exist in English. So you have to sort of then school them in, you know, how do we make things polite? Yeah.
But none of my students are low level enough not to know
that's
the word
true.
Please.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
They just can't be bothered a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Well, teacher, pencil. That. What?
Excuse me?
Are you a pencil? Is that what you're saying to me?
Do you think I'm a pencil?
But you know, I found the kids that, I mean, you can take away their pencil cases. I mean, you can just strip them of everything except the bare necessities, like a pencil and an eraser. And they will still find a way to turn it into a toy.
Yes.
Somehow, yeah. You know, like they'll dig out little bits of the eraser and
yes.
throw it at each other. Well, that's my number one rule. That's if I find them throwing, oh boy, do I rain hell down on them. Because I think that's just a total sign of total out of control, lack of respect. If they're throwing things, and they start now. They're trying to like dismantle their desks. You know,
God.
Like, ooh, here's a bolt.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Then they wonder why all the seats are loose. It's because they've like played with the bolts. Yeah, that's what happened to my school.
There's, yeah. One of my coworkers back in Toronto, Carolyn, Madame Carolyn, she French English translator, and she was kind of hippie mom kind of thing. You know, didn't shave her legs. Very very nice woman. But she didn't want to buy her kids war toys. No war toys, no guns, nothing. But she was totally mystified. She wouldn't even let them watch violent movies, but she was completely mystified that, you know, once they were anywhere, they would just pick up a stick and turn it into a gun, you know?
Right.
Like, nothing she could do could shield them from the boy violence, you know?
It's innate.
I know, I think it is innate, yeah.
Yes, I have a no-gun policy in my class.
No-gun policy. Yeah.
Which, in America, that would have a different meaning, but in my class, it means, you know, your pencil case and your finger are not guns.
No, right.
Especially because they'll point them at certain students,
okay.
like the Wangta of the week, and, you know, pretend to shoot them, and, you know, that's just uncalled for.
Yep.
Especially in a class, like my classes are so small,
right.
like, you know, six kids or whatever, that if there's one kid that's being excluded, it's really painfully obvious.
In Korean news.
In the news, I guess the big news this week is they finally signed that free trade agreement, FTA, USA, Korea, what do they call it? Chorus or something. Chorus. I think that's sort of the slang for the free trade agreement. Yeah. And been kind of a lot of protests.
Yeah.
Sort of downtown, stuff like that.
Well, we managed to exclude rice from it, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I thought the
rice farmers protest was a particularly amusing one. But with the dumping of the rice in the street.
Oh, did you see something like that?
Oh, it was in the paper.
Okay.
Yeah, they had like those Mondo like dog food bag sizes.
All right.
Like, I don't know, what is it, 50 pounds of rice or something?
Okay.
They don't even come in regular packages. They come in like the sewn together containers. They were dumping them in the road.
Why?
Over,
since rice was not part of the deal.
I think maybe it was to show the strength of their feeling that it not be included.
Okay, just
okay.
Because they get subsidies as well as a protected market.
Yeah, and I totally get why rice should legitimately be excluded. A country that cannot grow, that does not grow enough food to feed itself, puts itself in danger. I get that.
But unfortunately, I mean, one of the few things, you know, America can really do productively, I mean, there are many things you can do productively, but compared to Korea, is food production.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They have to protect the market because there's no way that Korea's tiny little farms could,
compete.
Even with shipping, could be competitive
right,
against
yeah.
the huge, you know, monstrous factory farms in America.
Right. Well, it was Honda. You know, Honda was like sending massive container ships over to America with, you know, cars, and they were just sending them back to Japan empty. Like, there was just nothing.
Yes.
And then they thought, this is really stupid. And so what they did is they bought up a bunch of soybean farms.
Yes.
And now they load them up with soybeans. You know, Japan was sort of the same way. You know, rice, rice is off the table. But for some reason, soybean, which, I mean, is also one of the foundations.
Right.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't seem quite as politically contentious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
can't have too much tofu, I guess.
No, I guess not.
Also in Japan, they eat more than just tofu. You know, edamame, and it's in everything. It's as ubiquitous as rice. So pretty cool that we could at least sell them something if we can't sell them cars.
Tim Hortons, you know, Canadian icon. They were bought out by Wendy's.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
I don't recall a lot of violent protests. I think it's some little stealth deal or something. But I remember back during the beginning of the Gulf War, these Canadians were like protesting, like, just stop going to Starbucks and, you know, these American chains. Like, instead of buying your coffee at Starbucks, go buy it at Tim Hortons. And people were like, it's an American company. Tim Hortons.
That's like the Outback thing here when the whole thing with the two girls when they
died. Really? Where people like don't go to Outback?
Yeah, people were boycotting TGI Fridays and Binnigan's, I guess. Right. And so they started going to the Outback instead.
Okay. But I imagine they're all actually, you know, owned by Koreans. You know, they tend to just license the name for Korea. So you end up just hurting your own people. I don't know. But my argument against this, you know, like, I'm like, well, if you want to protest the Gulf War, and, you know, you want to send a message to these American corporations, don't go see, you know, it was right before Matrix 2 came out for the summer. Don't go see Matrix 2, you know?
Yeah. Well, because you're just talking crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
Because it's owned by the movie, the company was owned by the same people who own CNN. And America can't go to war if it doesn't have the news networks on its side.
But see, there's not a direct equivalent of Matrix 2 that they could have seen and said instead.
I know.
See, if you go to Outback instead of TGI Fridays, you can get the same thing. If you go to Tim Hortons instead of Starbucks, you can get the same thing. There's no other Matrix 2.
I know.
And so they just can't bear that kind of sacrifice.
I know. So, yeah, I know. It's a certain kind of lazy. But.
You know, actually, I was thinking about today, as bandwagon-y as Koreans can be, the fact that Nashville used to be foreigner only, as we discussed previously, it surprises me that so many Koreans go there.
Really?
Because that would seem to me a prime target. You don't want us, then we don't want you. But instead, like, ooh, we can go there now. Let's go.
One of the mysteries about the free trade protesting, a large number of university students who are protesting the free trade agreement, but. I mean, the big winners in this FTA will be Samsung, LG.
Yeah, where they want to work anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so why are the university students kind of cutting off their own future?
University students are emotional. They like causes. And right now, America is not a very popular country in the world.
Exactly.
So anything that smells of America is worthy of protest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I was 20, 21... Canada, America free trade was being negotiated. I was against the Canadian-American free trade agreement.
Is that separate from NAFTA?
Yeah, there was first a Canada-America one, and then there was NAFTA. And remember, I used to do a comedy radio show, and we did this little all these little skits called Metric Dog, about this little white dog who sort of the last bastion of Canadian culture is the metric system. You know, the evil Americans have sort of taken over everything else but the metric system.
Right.
And some evil American is just about to sort of manifest destiny onto some poor helpless Canadian guy working at a gas station or a hospital. And then the evil American uses feet or pounds, which then allows the poor Canadian to go, metric dog, help me. And then metric dog sort of comes, arr, arr. And then, you know, curses foiled again, you know, metric dog. You know.
Right.
Yeah, I remember when they talked about switching over to metrics. And then I think in the end, this was probably about 1980, I think in the end they decided it would be too difficult. Do you recall that?
No, I think in the end...
I mean, obviously it was probably really expense.
Reactionary people who didn't want to give up...
Imperialist measures.
Foot-pounds.
Because, you know... Country after country after country has somehow managed to do it, and
so we
the
can't.
Argument could be made that Americans are stupid, but I think they'd get past it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they just let the free market decide. You know, I mean, the auto industry, science, so many industries are metric that why does Joe in the street have to Why does the average Joe in the street have to change his weights and measures? It's just, and you're expecting government, you know, with all their efficiencies, you know, to kind of get America to change. You know, when you got a small country, you know, like Canada, 30 million people, or maybe we were 20 million back then. It's a little bit easier, I think, getting 20 million people all to change than America's maybe 200 million then, getting 200 million people to all change. I don't know, but yeah. There's some good and bad to that.
Yeah. But changing to a system based on tens, I think...
Sensible makes, system of weights and measures.
Right. It's not like it's changing to a system based on 3.25. Yeah, you know, it's not based on pi, whatever, right. You know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I don't... Who knows if it'll ever happen.
Yeah. It should, but right. Then again, lots of things should happen.
Right.
But there was something really funny in the news, too, about President... Roe. So this is like the greatest thing he's done in his entire, you know, 5 or 6 year term or whatever in office. Like the only thing he's actually done, free trade agreement. And we were saying a few podcasts ago, you know, he came in being so anti-American, and now he's sort of signing a free trade agreement. But I think on balance, I think Korea will probably benefit more than America. So it'll be interesting to see when that hits the American Congress to see, you know, with a looming election, you know, how the American Congress is going to sort of deal with it. They can't amend it. They can only sort of approve it or vote it down. So that'll be interesting. But then there was a news item about Roe. It's like, oh, you know, Korea has to improve its English. And so, you know, another bunch of cracker ideas. And I thought that was weird because, you know, maybe more than a year ago, Roe stopped taking English questions from reporters.
Ooh.
If you want to ask them a question, you have to ask it in Korean. You can't ask them in Korean. You can't ask them in English. You know, if you're from, like, you know, the AP or something, you can't ask him a question in English, and then his translators will, no, he banned that. So, and now he's the great champion of English. It's rather bizarre.
Yeah.
It's called politics for a reason, I guess.
Yeah. That seems odd that, you know, for the press, the onus to be on, you know, each member of the press to translate rather than just having one presidential translator.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, so
Korea will be the next international language. France is quaking in its shoes.
Right.
So it's like a number.
Latin's taking a breather, though.
I think it was in the 50s or the 60s. They discovered that Russia was getting all of its knowledge about American foreign policy from Time magazine. Yeah. Like no one ever thought to just sort of inform Russia, like, this is America's official foreign policy, you know, on, you know, Turkey or on, you know, Kenya, these kind of things. And so the Russians were just like, to them it was just a secret. And so they were like spying, you know, so they're subscribing to Time magazine to try and divine America's foreign policy. And then when Americans sort of found out, they're like, oh,
you know, we've got that on our website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was like the 50s and the 60s, yeah. But so they're like, okay, we better send them the memos. You know?
Yeah.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Yeah, this job opportunity, again, it was kind of another one for the sort of the Korean-Canadians, Korean-Americans. So in the audience, it's for a university position, non-English instructor. I don't think they mean like an instructor who's teaching a language other than English. I think it's just a non-instructor position. International office seeks a highly motivated, qualified person to fill a vacant position related to the International Exchange Program designed to promote goodwill between the Sungkyun Kwan University and other foreign universities. So it's kind of like a little PR office sort of position. And you have to know Korean. Well, you don't have to be very super fluent. It says native English speakers with basic communication skills in Korean. Somebody like you, Jennifer, I think would be probably... qualified for this, but who has job experience in international relations duties. Like, I think Jennifer, that would kind of, I think you could sort of, in the Army, in your Korean linguist stuff, you could.
Army is international relations of a sort.
Exactly. You could sort of massage that a little bit. But the only downside is I noticed this at the last moment, should be available for in-person interview at your expense. So I guess that's actually for if you're still in North America, they kind of want you here. So that's I should have paid closer attention to that. 29 million won a year. Doesn't say anything about apartment or anything like that. But a lot of times, if you're a university, a lot of university positions, you get just a place in their kind of their on-campus dorms and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you might have to check out for sure, because if you're not an instructor, they may not give you an instructor housing spot.
Yeah, but I don't know. So this will be on our little
life. So that 29 million wouldn't go quite as far.
I mean, 29 million, what is that, 2.4? That's really not, you know, an outstanding salary these days.
No, yeah.
Especially if it's an office job, you're probably working Korean office hours, which are like 9 to 6 or even longer.
Yeah, but it's at the Sungkyun Kwan University, which is like that's kind of something of an elite university. It's one near Heihwa, kind of like Confucian University.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, something out of Korea's most Confucian University or something. That's kind of their. Yeah, it's sort of. You know, there's Yonsei, Seoul National, Kode, Ide, and then this is kind of like the sort of the second tier Ivy kind of this school. But yeah, I just like the email address, eroica2060@skku.edu. Yeah, not to be confused with erotica. From the Beethoven symphony. Yeah, Eroica. But, due date April 20th.
I like it's in the 600th anniversary building. Are they implying that the university is 600 years old?
I guess so. I guess they've been around a little Confucian school or something like that going back 600 years, maybe. I don't know. There's been 5,000 years of unbroken culture here.
So 600th anniversary is nothing.
That's a drop in the bucket. Come on. All right.
It's like yesterday.
But then, there's one I didn't check out, but there was a school name. It was called Saint Genius Academy.
He's one of my favorite saints.
He is. He's always been my favorite saint.
What is he the patron saint of?
Shh.
Geniuses.
People who try to, like, steal gumballs from gumball machines
patron
or something
saint
like
of
that.
Of kids who stick bobby pins in electric outlets.
Saint Genius Academy. But one of my favorite names for a Hagwon is the Eiffel Tower.
Oh,
the, yeah, and then of course they have a little picture of the Eiffel Tower just to sort of, you know, cement the pun. And I'm like, that's an excellent pun, but it doesn't really scream English to me.
Right. It'd be a better pun if you know, France spoke English.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Or Yale. Yale Academy.
Yeah, there's an Eton Academy.
Yeah, well, there are the Harvard schools, whatever. Yeah. But Yale is actually a Korean word, although
really?
I can't think of what it means at the moment. But okay. They pronounce Yale the same way. They would write it the same way in Korean.
All right, that's our show. It's not quite a retraction, but, you know, I was listening to last week's podcast, and, you know, we were kind of making fun of guys dancing around in Peter Pan boots and those kind of stuff. And
manly men.
Yeah, and just on that whole topic of, like, you know, so the whole girly men topic, you know, the very next thing I'm talking about, you know, like, the only way to stay safe in Korea is to hide behind old ladies and babies, you know, and I thought to myself, there's a little bit of irony there, you know.
Yeah.
So so that's kind of a manly thing to do.
Yeah, oh yeah, it screams big, brawny, burly man.
So, yeah, I get it, okay? I didn't get any hate mail, actually. I thought I was going to get some hate mail, because we were just a little sarcastic. But thank you for not hating
on us. Thank you for not hating us.
I would like to say on my own, I retract my armchair diagnosis of my one student. there was an article on Asperger syndrome on Yahoo News this week, and actually, although he flails his arms to in lieu of raising his hand, and you know sometimes hits other kids in doing so, and spells words instead of saying words.
Okay.
But he can't spell when he writes. Actually, those are not symptoms of Asperger syndrome.
Oh, really? Okay.
I stand corrected.
All right. Did you find out if there are symptoms of anything else?
Hmm? Well, he does have, like, he is a bit Rain Man-y, but apparently that is not Asperger syndrome. Yeah. So there you go.
That was our other low point last week, John, is we just made fun of all our special needs kids.
I really like that kid. He's one of my favorite students, but he does have his little oddities.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing just to make fun of your obstinate, you know, kids, but when you're just singing to the level where, like, this kid really has brain damage, and it's like, let's make fun of him. Ha, ha, ha.
Why not?
I thought, boy, oh, we're gonna get letters, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I disavow any involvement in this.
All right. And, John, you'll be back.
I'll be back next week. All right.
Jennifer, you will...
As far as I know.
You'll be back next week. All right. I think not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. I've got a coworker wedding to go to. So I think we'll still do the show, but maybe we might have to do it a bit later. So it might, because you're coming from Bundang, Jennifer. If it's the time is too late for you, then just feel free to sort of bow out. So we might have to do it like maybe like 5 or 6 or something like that. You know, because the wedding's at 3, so, you know.
So it'll be done by 3:15.
Exactly.
Elaborate, are they? Yes.
They've got people waiting for the next one. Like,
oh, right.
Like, they have announcements. You've got 5 minutes to get out.
What?
Yeah, they don't play.
Carousel.
Congratulations, leave.
Yes, that's basically what it is.
Carousel begins in 5 minutes. Yeah. Carousel begins in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's how they are.
Little Logan's Run.
Right, right. I got that one.
Yeah.
Logan's Run.
Anybody watch Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Oh, man. If you don't watch Battlestar Galactica, you're an idiot.
But we love you anyway.
Right.
That was actually from The Office.
Oh.
What's his name? Rainey Wilson's character. He's like, he's at some party, and he's just like, if you don't watch Battlestar Galactica, you're an idiot.
Man. Okay. Sign me up.
Right. Next week. Next week we'll do. I think we got to do Freaky Foreigner next week. You had maybe some Freaky Foreigner stories. Oh, plug your little thing.
Oh yes.
Plug it.
Cotisol, I am the new first vice president. Thank you very much.
Oh my god.
Little plug.
It was a landslide, but landslide. I was. Running
were you acclaimed or was it a landslide?
No, it was a landslide. Right. I was unopposed, so.
So you were
know, really sort of in the bag.
You were acclaimed the position.
Nice. Excellent. Congratulations.
I saw a headline in like the Korean newspaper, like the little international section, and it said something about election in Quebec. You know, liberals given a mandate. And then I'm like, oh, so I'm from Quebec, so I sort of read the article, and it's like, but the body of the article is like, you know, first time in, you know, 35 years Quebec has a minority government, which means no party has a majority of seats in parliament. And I'm like, well, that's not quite the definition of mandate.
No,
you know?
Really.
Mandate usually means you win by a landslide. You know, a lot of people have voted for you, and there's a clear, you know, the people have clearly spoken. I'm like,
Yeah, George Bush claimed a mandate in last time he was elected, too.
Did he?
Of course, George Bush doesn't get a lot of things, clearly. But,
oh, right. I've got political capital. I'm going to spend
it. How much political capital can you get with that razor-thin margin? Get out of here.
I think he spent it on, like, pack of gum or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, God. All right, so.
It makes me proud to be an American.
Yeah.
I can return to my homeland just as soon as he's out of office.
It's just it's just George Bush, that's all. America's a wonderful country.
It is. We love it.
It is. It is. We just happen to have an evil genius in power. I think
genius? Oh, Cheney, right.
No, I sincerely believe that the whole good old boy thing is just a front. Like,
oh,
did
yeah?
you see the movie American Presidents with James Garner and Jack Lemmon as previous presidents? Well, the vice president was a character actor whose name I can't remember, but he's in a lot of stuff. And he was like this sort of Dan Quayle-y character who had like, he met a great black golfer and he was like, you know, your people don't play much golf. And, you know, he's like always saying stuff like this. Yeah.
Wow.
And so everybody just sort of wrote him off as this idiot, but actually he has this plan to assassinate the president and frame these former presidents. And so he could become president. He was kind of a, you know, evil behind the scenes guy. And I think that that's Bush. He just pretends to be this dumb good old boy.
Bush, he'd have had more success in his private enterprises before he became a politician. He wouldn't have lost money on every company he ever owned. Or, yeah. So I don't know. We'll talk more.
Well, I remember in the 80s, during the Reagan presidency, you know, Reagan was the president. George Bush, first George Bush, was vice president.
Yeah.
And one of those sort of like, you know, odd news items, you know. And there's always something about, you know, Spanish grandmother burns to death or something like that. You know, tragic stories that are kind of funny but not happening to people like us, you know, but different people. And so it's something about Iranians believe George Bush runs America, not Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a figurehead and George Bush was the real leader.
And a little irony there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people, and at that time too, George Bush was kind of like, you know, the wimp factor was the big thing. And but when you sort of delved into that, like, you know, how stupid can Iranians be? When you sort of delve into it, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, actually, Bush, there's something to that. Yeah.
Bush was, George Bush
ran the CIA.
Among the most qualified people on paper, people ever to be president.
And it's pretty well documented that Reagan had Alzheimer's while still in office.
Yeah. But wasn't that a surprise when we found that out?
But the things the Iranians were focusing on, that, you know, that George Bush had been the head of the CIA, and the CIA during the Shah years ran Iran.
Yeah.
So they just made the calculation. Right. Well, the CIA must run America. That's their view. When the CIA runs your nation, what does the CIA do in America? So, all right. I guess you got to fly, John.
Huh?
You got to fly. You've got a prior commitment. All right. Okay, so our website, www.gokorea.info. Send us an email at gokorea@gmail.com. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
In these days of reciprocitic adversity, with border tariffs falling like airliners blown out of the British skies, the last bastion of Canadian culture is the metric system, a sensible system of weights and measures based on the number 10. And what group of professionals employ the metric system practically every day to protect Canadian vitality and culture? The Manitoba Union of Parachute Inspectors? Blah, don't be so naive. It is the healthcare worker. Brave nurses and their aides have this heavy burden placed on their shoulders, despite the lack of respect they receive from doctors and patients alike. When the demands of the living become too much, they know Metric Dog Superhero is always on call to aid them in their hour of nightingalic need. But even Metric Dog is not without his own personal adversity. For recently, another super domesticated pet has come to this planet, and not to help its people, but to enslave them. Yes, this vile creature is the anti-metric Christ, the 6'6" toed cat named Poundfoot. Our story opens on a simple and traditional Canadian hospital, Hotel du Decimeter, where a piping hot bowl of split pea soup does more to cure its patients than a CAT scanner. Nurse? Nurse?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Jones.
I'm hot. I want a milkshake. Oh, wait a minute, you're not a nurse. You're a man.
I'm a male nurse.
Well, you're a pansy. Don't give me this nurse business.
Mr. Jones, your intensive care, you're at my mercy, please.
Mercy. Well, I can whip you with one arm tied behind and traction even. I don't care. I want a nurse just like they got on MASH, you know, with big contracts. My Ford health plan guarantees me a semi-private room and a female nurse. Come on, get with it.
I warn you, Mr. Jones, if you keep giving me trouble, I might conveniently forget to inform the doctors when your EKG tracing goes pleasantly flat.
What? Okay, you have an appointment. But I'm thirsty anyway. I want a milkshake and a beer. Pronto, pal.
Let me check your chart here.
To my charts.
sorry, Mr. Jones, you go under the knife in 12 hours, so no food or water.
Oh, so what? Just heart surgery? I don't care. I want to die a Shasta, anything. I'll even drink water. I'm really hot.
Well, maybe you're running a temperature here. Let me take it.
Oh, you ain't gonna use a rectal thermometer, are ya? Because two men taking each other's anal temperature is an abomination in the eyes of God. I read it somewhere.
No. I'll take it orally. Just here. Just let me clean the Vaseline off of it.
What'd you say?
Never mind. Open up. And there we go. Just choo-choo into your mouth. That's good. Okay, hang on. We just gotta wait a minute. And there you go. Okay, let me take a look. Look, you're a perfectly normal 36.7 degrees.
Normal? I should be a frozen corpse at that temperature. Should be steam rising from my body. Oh, I'm better than 50 degrees Fahrenheit under what I should be, and I even know that.
No,
been no to school or nothing.
That's a metric I quoted you. Your body temperature is quite normal.
But something's wrong then, because I'm really burning up. You know, I'm supposed to think I'm cold, I'm hot. I don't know. I bet you didn't convert my body temperature to metric properly. Did you, like, times 1.6, subtract a liter, 1,200 hours? I don't know. You must have done something wrong, you donut packer.
I can't stand this. I need respect. Somebody help me.
Meow. Meow. Hey, Bob. Meow.
Who are you?
Meow, I'm a nurse recruiter from Los Angeles. Meow.
You're a cat.
Oh, meow, that too. Meow. How would you like to work at UCLA Hospital, huh? Meow, meow. It's a teaching clinic, Bob. Meow, meow, meow. Right near a beach. Fabulous bays. Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, I don't know, cat.
Meow, call me Poundfoot. All my friends do.
Sure, Poundfoot. I just don't know. I don't think I could move that far, you know? I live in Windsor. I don't
meow,
like to move.
But you don't like it here, do you? Psst, Windsor.
Psst. No.
Practically a government employee.
Psst. No, I suppose I don't like it here.
That's right. And you don't get any respect from the doctors or patients, right? Meow.
Yeah, I suppose. Like that guy over there.
Hey, you cheese melt. Quit playing with that mangy Tom and get me a Perrier with a lemon twist, a lot of ice and a shot of vodka in it. Make it snappy, you fudge bacon crate sitter. Boy, I tell you, you're up here.
You're right, Poundfoot. I'm going south of the border where I won't have to deal with whiny Canadians. Whereas, God is my witness, I can aspire to be the nurse to the stars. Boy, would I give to SpongeBath the cast of the facts of life.
Meow, meow, meow. Whoa, I could arrange that, Bob. Meow, meow. Anything you want can be yours. You just have to sign here in blood.
Blood?
Yeah, take the blood from that awful man over there. Drain him, drain him. Drain him of his fluids and I'll give you the land of prosperity.
Drain him.
Meow, take a few quarts. Meow.
That would kill him.
Meow. Oh, maybe it would.
I couldn't take a quart despite my oath. I don't even know what a quart is. Oh, metric dog, help me!
Oh, great, I'm being kept in a goddamn zoo. Hold down, boy, I wasn't talking about you. You're a nice pal. Nice doggy.
Your dog, meow! I thought you died trying to chase me across the 401. Meow, meow. Curses foiled again. But you haven't seen the last of me, Metric Dog.
What's that, Metric Dog? You want to know if I want the patient done away with too? You wouldn't leave marks? Well, thanks, Metric Dog, but no. I couldn't allow that. I'm here to save Canadian lives.
Yes, that's right. Our healthcare system is designed to save Canadian lives. But Metric Dog can't be in every intensive care ward where people are lining up to get in so they can have life-saving heart surgery 3 or 4 months down the line. You must help, too, by sending your daughters and sons, especially your sons, to nursing school where they will be pawed by engineers and trained as the frontline forces fighting the evils of the standard measurement system. This has been another installment of Metric Dog. Superheroes!